Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money, major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Adam Clayton Powell, for the first time, was defeated. Charles Rangel won in a very close election. Within a few years, Adam Clayton Powell would contract cancer and die.
If we must die, let us not die like hogs, penned in some inglorious spot. What use is an extra year or two to the man who kills the time that God has given him?
Much of the story of Adam Clayton Powell is on display here in this anteroom of the Abyssinia Baptist Church. But there are many parts of the Adam Powell story that you cannot see hanging up on the walls, mainly the ironies in his life. Isn't it ironic that Adam Powell was such a loud voice that few people would listen to? Perhaps if his loud voice had been heeded on the question of police corruption, there may not have been a Knapp Commission. If his loud voice about government corruption had been heeded, there may not have been a Watergate. If his loud voice against hypocrisy on Capitol Hill had been heeded, perhaps Wayne Hayes and Tom Dodd and Earl Butz and Carl Albert and countless others might have not have been caught in such embarrassing situations. Adam Clayton Powell represents still another chapter in a long story of black militant fighters against oppression and injustice here in America. He wasn't perfect. He had his faults, but don't we all? The point is, he was a fighter. If he did play He worked harder than he played. Most of all, he was a fighter.
As far as I know here, you're in trouble. Gloria says about 30% are unemployed. That's why I'm working hard to get this surplus food here. Some of you say to me, well, I'm not like you. I'm not a congressman. I haven't got education. I haven't got work. But you're a human being. And you know what you've got? You've got in your hand the power to use your vote and to use even those few cents you get from welfare to spend them only where you want to spend them. A young slave boy stood one day before the greatest ruler of his day. And God said to Moses, what's in your hand? And Moses said, Lord, only I've got a stick, that's all. He said, well, let me use what's in your hand. And God used that slave boy with a stick in his hand to divide the Red Seas, march through a wilderness, bring water out of rocks, manna from heaven, and bring his people to freedom land. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? George Washington Carver, who was so frail that he was traded for a broken-down horse as a slave boy. And George Washington Carver, sitting in the science laboratory at Tuskegee, told me, he said, Dr. Powell, he said, I just go out in the field each morning at 5 o'clock, and I let God guide me. And I bring back these little things and work them over my laboratory. And that man did more to revolutionize the agricultural science of peanuts and of cotton and sweet potato than any other human being in the field of agricultural science. What's in your hand? Just let God use you, that's all. What's in your hand? I've got a string in my hand, that's all, and I'm flying a kite. And way up in the heavens, lightning strikes it. And I, Benjamin Franklin, discover for the first time the possibilities of electricity with a string in my hand. What's in your hand? Little hunchback sitting in a Roman jail. I haven't got anything in my hand but an old quill pen, but God says, write what I tell you to write. Paul wrote, I have run my race with patience. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, as laid up in me. What's in your hand, little boy? All I've got is a slingshot. And the enemies of my people are great and big and more numerous than we are. Well, little David, go down to the brook and pick out a few stones and come on back and close your eyes if you want to and pull back that slingshot and let it go. David killed the biggest enemy, the leader of the giants, against his people, and his people became free, just letting God guide a stone in his hand. And a few years passed, and David is a king. And God says, what's in your hand? He said, I've got a harp in my hand. He said, well, David, play on your harp. And he played, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Leadeth me beside still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Man hanging on a cross? I've got two nails in my hand. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdrawest thyself from me, whither shall I go? And that man, with two nails in his hand, split history in half, B.C. and A.D., and what's in your hand tonight, people of Cambridge? You've got God in your hand, and he'll let you win because he's on your side and one with God, always in the majority. So walk with him and talk with him and work with him and speak together and fight together. And with God's hand in your hand, the victory will be accomplished here sooner than you dreamed, sooner than you hoped, sooner than you prayed for, sooner than you imagined. Good night and God bless you.
All right, today's podcast is titled 20 Acre Solar Village. 20 Acre Solar Village. I was blessed to get a hold of an opportunity that I'm sharing 20 acres of land, and if you would like to own your own acre of land here, this is this solar village will be here in Florida, about 90 minutes away from Jacksonville, Florida. And we'll tell you the coordinates from different parts of Florida, as well as probably even Atlanta, Georgia. But it's in Florida, 20 acres. And if you want to get a glimpse at what it looks like virtually, because, you know, we're on online, but we are booking tours now. We're booking tours now. So if you want a boots-on-the-ground walk of this 20 acres with me personally, I'll be there with you, okay? Boots-on-the-ground tours, walking tours of this 20 acres, and an acre's the size of a football field, so we got 20 football fields all connected together here in this 20 acres. It's going to be a solar village. So if you have a business, if you're a vendor, if you have some type of ministry, church, whatever, you know, you might not be able to handle an acre. That's all right. You might be able to handle a half acre or a quarter acre. Quarter acres are a pretty nice plot of land. So we got 20 acres here. And to take a look at it, one, you can go to our scrolling marquee here for today's live stream and take a look at it. I got some pictures up there. Or if you want to take a look at, I got like three pictures or so, plus a video, go to our Facebook page, which is Earth Wealth Forest. Go to our Facebook page, which is Earth Wealth Forest on Facebook. And then right at the top, it says, as you scroll down a little bit, 20-acre solar village. And I've got, let's see, one, two, three, four pictures and a video. All right, so you can take a look at it right now as we play this next audio. And then we're going to talk. I've got about 15 items. We can probably have 30 more items that we can discuss that, you know, what's your vision, not my vision, but what's your vision on this 20 acres, all right? Now, it's the fourth quarter of the year, so we got to do what we need to do to secure it. But we got first crack at it. Like I said, it's 20 acres, so... Hey, maybe you make quilts. You can have a whole quilling factory facility with housing the whole nine yards on this. But right now, it's like, see, if you go to our Facebook page, and hold, let me make sure I'm giving you the right thing. On Facebook, our Facebook page is, That's another... here we go. All right. If you go to our Facebook page, which is DIY Housing TV, DIY Housing TV at Earth Wealth Forest. Once again, go to our Facebook page, which is DIY Housing TV or DIY Housing TV at Earth Wealth Forest. Then you scroll down a little bit, then you'll see a caption that says, right under the name Vauban Schwarzwald, 20-acre solar village. And then you'll see I've got four pictures. And like the first picture to the up, you know, the left-hand side, that's a pond. There is a pond on this 40 acres stocked with fish. So if you like to, you know, if you like catfish in particular, hey, we got a pond on the 20 acres. So I got four pictures up there and a video. All right, now, we are doing walking tours of the entire 20 acres, but you got to book it. All right. So in order to do that, you need to call 813-646-9808. 813-646-9808. That's the number to call to book a walking tour. And I personally will be your chaperone on that. 813-646-9808 to book a walking tour. All right, of this 20 acres. All right, so, hey, we're on Faith Street. We'll be back after this.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. but I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit, and it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin.
Hey y'all, I'm coming to you live from my brand new propagation house. I'll do a full tour of this new space in the next farm update video. Today I want to talk about the late great Booker T. Watley. Watley is a legend in American vegetable farming. He spent decades as a researcher and a farmer in Alabama and in Louisiana after he served in the Korean War. His list of contributions to sustainable agriculture is so very long that it's going to take me two videos to do it justice. Today is the first in a two-part series about the contributions of Booker T. Watley. In the early 1970s, Watley began advocating for the success of the small family-run farm operation. Central to his teachings was a widely publicized Ten Commandments of the Small Farm. And as I read through these, it's remarkable how many of these concepts come up still today when we talk about how we're going to keep small farms alive. Thy small farm shalt. 1. Provide year-round daily cash flow. Well, one can hope. 2. Be a pick-your-own operation. Watley saw how expensive labor could be for a small farm, and he sought to eliminate harvest labor altogether. And we see you-pick operations throughout the country, whether it's in small fruits or tree fruits. It's still a pretty common model in the United States. 3, have a guaranteed market with a clientele membership club. Today we know this as community-supported agriculture, or CSA, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in the next video. 4, provide year-round full-time employment. We small farm folks are always debating whether a farmer should or can have off-farm income. And it's pretty clear where Watley stands on that one. 5, be located on a hard surface road within 40 miles of a population center of at least 50,000 people with well-drained soil and an excellent source of water. All of those things are on my list as I look for the place where we start the next chapter of Garden Variety Harvest. 6, produce only what thy clients demand and nothing else. 7, shun middlemen and middlewomen like the plague, for they are a curse upon thee. All about keeping the maximum money in the pocket of the farmer to keep that farm enterprise humming along. 8, it should consist of compatible, complementary crop components that earn a minimum of $3,000 per acre per year. So that's high-value crops only, and that's a big part of the philosophy that I've started this business with. 9, be weatherproof, at least as far as possible, with both drip irrigation and sprinkler irrigation. And that becomes even more relevant when we start talking about farming in the context of climate crisis. 10, be covered by a minimum of $250,000 in liability insurance, because even in the 1960s, Americans loved to sue one another. So going through Whatley's Ten Commandments, I am so struck by how poignant they are to a farm like mine, some half a century after he wrote these down for the first time. This country boy from Alabama was decades ahead of his time. And in the next video, we'll dive into Whatley's clientele membership club idea and how it became today's popular CSA model. Thanks for watching.
All right. Now, before we go to our next audio, I'd like to say today's podcast is titled 20 Acre Solar Village. We have the opportunity to purchase 20 acres of land right here in Florida. And we're going to go through about 15 items on the program today that are related to that. But I played Booker T. Washington. I think I might have some audio of him actually speaking. But if not today, we'll get it on sometime this week. But the textbook for us setting up this 20 acres for the solar village is based on the book that Booker T. Whatley, and that's spelled W-H-A-T-L-E-Y, Booker T. Whatley, the book that he wrote and published is titled, well, somebody else published it. It's called How to Make $100,000 Farming 25 Acres. Now, Mr. Whatley wrote this book or published this book, it was in 1987, so what, that's like 36 years? So when the book was first published, and I have a hardback version of the book. People didn't have smartphones. People didn't have the general populace of the on a critical mass basis of the global population did not have internet access. Internet access existed, but on a critical mass basis, general person didn't have it. But people, I mean, gadgets that we take for granted now, like tablets and desktops, they didn't even exist in the form that we know them now in 1987 when he published his book. So now I got a copy of it in my hand right now. I'm holding the smartphone in the right hand, and the left hand I got a copy of Booker T. Whatley's book. Now, as we play, and I got to cue up another audio here, but I want you to do two things as I play this next audio. I want you to type in any search engine, Booker T. Whatley, and that's spelled W-H-A-T-L-E-Y, Booker T. Whatley book. All right. And once again, the name of this book, the title of this book is How to Make $100,000 Farming 25 Acres. Now, you've got videos on YouTube now that show you how you can make $100,000 just on a quarter acre of land. All right, but his book is the definitive textbook that we shall be using to acquire this 20 acres of land and then make this 20 acres of land work for us. I want you to, before I play this next audio, is I want you to go online and, like I say, look up the book, put in Booker T. Whatley's book, and then I want you to look on Amazon, you can buy a copy of this book that I've got in my hand right now. You can buy the hardcover of this book for $428.48. Let me repeat that again. This book, which I have a copy of, and I've had it in my hand, I've had this book, Peter Simpson, who used to listen to this program on the daily, you know, back when we started, we've been on 10 years of December the 24th. That's coming up soon. Peter Simpson, that used to be on here on the daily, he was introduced to us by Warren Houston. Peter Simpson put this, and this one, we got it recorded back in our archives going back 10 years ago. He recommended the book. I bought the book immediately. When I bought it, it was $50. When I bought this book, I believe I paid $50 for it. Now, on Amazon, that same book, which is our textbook, sells for $432.48. If you got that kind of money to spare, I would recommend getting it, because in a few short years, that book will be worth over $1,000. You need to have your own copy. And then if you want the paperback book, if you don't feel like spending $400, the paperback book is $328.99. That's the paperback if you get it through Amazon. Now, you can also go to eBay. You can go to eBay, and the selling price, including free shipping, is $300. And that's Booker T. Wadley's How to Make $100,000 Farming on 25 Acres. Once again, you could go on YouTube right now, and there are videos on showing you how you can earn $100,000 on a quarter acre of land, or even up to $1 million on, was it 10 acres of land or 20 acres of land or something like that. But So Booker T. Wadley's book, once again, that is the textbook that we shall be using to set up this 20 acres of land. So, all right, go look that book up. I would recommend, if you got the spare money to order it. I've got a copy. I bought mine for $50, but I bought it like 9 or 10 years ago. All right, I wish I bought two copies of it that day. Actually, 10 copies, but it's a very valuable book. Now, so you can look on eBay. They got it for $300. Amazon, paperback, $328, or hardcover, like I've got, $432. I'm not selling my copy. I only got one copy, and I even sleep with it. I can just reach out my hand. The book is right there. All right, so that's the textbook that we'll be using for this 20 acres. Now, one other thing I want you to do while we're doing our thing here, playing audio, is go to our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is DIY Housing TV. DIY Housing TV. At Earth Wealth Forest. And then you scroll down a little bit, and then you will see I've got four pictures of the 20 acres. Four pictures of the 20 acres plus a video. Okay. So you can take a look at what it looks like right now. Now, we'll have walking tours of this 20 acres, and I'll be on every last single one of those walking tours. So you can step on the ground, roll around on the ground, We got a pond on the grounds of the 20 acres that is stocked with fish right now. If you're a vendor, entrepreneur, whatever vision you have, imagine yourself having your own acre out of this 20 acres. That's the opportunity that we have right now. We're on Faith Street. We got about Faith Street. We were walking on Faith Street. This is what happens when you're on Faith Street. This is what happens when you're on Faith Street. So I'm going to play this audio because this is going to be, as you see the videos, you have trees there, but there's also a lot of open land with a lot of sunlight. So we're going to have solar panels there. We can have our own solar farm where we have no utility bills, no electric bill, nothing like that. So we'll be back with more. I got about 15 hours. We want to get some of your feedback on it. And like I said, we're going to be having boots on the ground tours. And you know what? All we're going to do is copy off of the Freedom Georgia people. We interviewed them earlier this year. They gave us about 90 minutes. It's in our archives. It started with three women in Metro Atlanta. Now, they ran across 96 acres, and in order to get the money, they went and told 10 friends each. So I want everybody who's listening to this podcast, tell 10 of your friends. Tell 10. And we're not trying to get 96 acres. We're just trying to get 20. And for those to visualize this, an acre is about the size of a football field. All right. So take a look at, we got four videos on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page, once again, is DIY Housing TV at Earth Wealth Forest. So just put in DIY Housing TV. It might still come up under It's My House, too. We got four pictures in the video. All right. We're looking for vendors, entrepreneurs, people that want an affordable place because we're going to be building tiny houses on this place. But whatever vision that you might have, you just might want to have a weekend chill spot. Or you might want to put up something there where, you have your own Airbnb-type community. There's a whole lot you can do with 20 acres. So anyway, we'll be back. One of the things we're going to do is we're going to do this video on that.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in. and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside, with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children, because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean, it's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine, or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat. I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at an age, at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
Okay, so let me see. I've updated the... let me give some updates for this next audio, because I think I did find an audio of Booker T. Watley actually speaking. So if you go... Now, today's podcast is titled 20 Acres Solar Village. I have... or should I say we? We have been blessed with the opportunity of purchasing 20 acres of land right here in Florida. It's about 90 minutes away from Jacksonville, Florida. It's about a half hour or so, about a half hour to 45 minutes south of Valdosta, Georgia. And it's 20 acres. And if you go to our Facebook page, all right, 20 acres is a lot of land. If you go to our Facebook page, which is DIY Housing TV, DIY Housing TV, go to that page on Facebook or DIY Housing TV at Earth Wealth Village, and you will see I've got some posted. Just scroll down Solar Village, and let me go through them with you real quick before I play this next audio. I've got 6 pictures and a video. All right, so like the first picture up on the left-hand side, and you can see it's there. It's a pond. There's a pond on that 20 acres. All right. And then there's plenty of trees there, but there's also plenty of open space. See all that sunlight? That sunlight can be converted into electricity to run your flat-screen TV, charge your cell phones, heat your coffee up, cook, you know, whatever you do with electricity now, that's what's there. We know how to harness it through. That's what we're calling this a solar village. And then there's a video that we have on there as well. Now, the picture that I just added on will be the textbook that we're going to be using to develop this 20 acres. You can call it a textbook or a Bible. Will be a book written by Booker T. Watley. I just took a picture and added it on there. I showed you a picture of my copy. I bought that copy about 9 years ago, 9 or 10 years ago, for $50. All right. I'm telling you right now, go take a look. If you want your copy, and I'm saying if you got the spare money to buy it, see what they're selling it for on eBay right now. They're selling it for $300 on eBay. And if you go to Amazon, they're selling the paperback for a little bit over $300, like $328, something like that. Or you can get a hard copy, because I got a hard copy. But I bought mine 9 or 10 years ago, but it's selling for over $400 now. So I would recommend, if you can't get a copy of that book, but that's our textbook. That book, and there's some videos about Booker T. Watley on YouTube. Now we're going to play an audio, and you can actually hear him speak.
This is a time when the rich American soil seems to yield everything but a living for small farmers. The message is, get big or get out of farming. But a Tuskegee professor emeritus has a different row to hoe.
We take the small farmer out of the ballpark with the big guy. We tell him he can't grow no cotton and soybeans and beef cattle and hogs and wheat. when the world market is setting the price of wheat. Now, if a farm in Alabama is just growing soybeans and loses crop, it's a total disaster. You hear all this in media because like farming is a lifestyle. Well, you're not going to have much of a lifestyle in this country if you don't have some money.
While a professor at Tuskegee, Booker T. Watley experimented with farming on a small scale. He came up with a way to make a good living with a small operation. To a troubled farm community, Watley's plan was like rain at the end of a long dry spell. There were so many requests for information that he started a newsletter. Before long, he had some 20,000 subscribers here and in 21 foreign countries. The newsletter tells small farmers that if they're going to move forward, they're going to have to look back. Back to the idea of growing many crops rather than one or two. If one crop fails, there are others to keep the farm going.
Now this is a vine ripened tomato, the kind you don't get in the supermarket. Got thin skin, all the quality and flavor and taste is excellent. Delicious. You know, we have been led to believe that everything in the supermarket is fresh, and there's nothing in a supermarket that's fresh. And all we're trying to do is get the people back that appreciate quality in their fruits and vegetables.
Plenty of people are skeptical about small farms turning a profit, but Dr. Watley just points the naysayers down the road towards Auburn to Frank Randall's Pick Your Own Farm. Frank's 120 acres produce sheep, honey, grapes, blackberries, and blueberries. High-yield crops that don't need expensive equipment to plant or harvest. The farm is a working example of Watley's theory.
Get them picked.
There it is.
Come harvest time, people find their way to the farm to pick fruit for next winter's breakfast cereal. According to Dr. Watley's plan, a pick-your-own harvest saves labor costs. But something else happens. Bringing people to the farm becomes more than a matter of dollars and cents.
That's gorgeous. And I picked them all.
Every one of them.
How about that?
We went into this thinking we were selling blueberries, thinking we were selling honey, thinking we were selling lamb. And we find that people are very much interested in letting their kids see where things come from and letting them see something growing. And so we've ended up selling an idea that that wasn't the intent at all, but that's what we've ended up doing. And it's worked out great. Frank, bring these right here on up. Close to the gate. Come on, sheep. Tighten them on up.
Well, you know, change is a funny thing. See, just like Frank's neighbors, every one of them except Frank grows cotton, corn, soybeans, wheat, and got some beef cattle. And all of them are in debt. And yet they won't change. They pay us right by Frank's house, and then Frank don't owe anybody anything. Just like Frank's son is going to follow in his daddy's footsteps because he's going to know about the sheep, he's going to know about the bees, he's going to know about the blueberries. Well, those older farmers is following and doing exactly what their dad and granddaddy did. But they won't change.
My granddad had a farm 10 times more complicated than this. He never went to school, owned in slavery, but he had a head full of common sense. Frank, the blueberries look good.
Well, you were telling me about these black black raspberries. Now, what we should do,
we really need our land-grant institutions to put in some variety trials of black raspberries, because they're worth about twice as much.
Red's worth a lot. Twice as much.
That sounds good.
Like
gold nuggets.
Just okay. It's the challenge to see if you can work with Mother Nature just a little bit more closely. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. To me, that's the fun part of it, because it's never the same. It's just like an athlete, you know, he pushes himself a little bit further just to see if he can do it. Sometimes that stretching is painful, but you don't grow unless you, you know, the old cliche, you know, no pain, no gain.
So I'm glad I had that. That was actually the voice of Booker T. Watley, and his book is available on, you just go to Kindle, and you won't be able to download it. Actually, I should be, or more accurately say, it's available on Amazon, and you can get there's no Kindle version of it, that I know of at least, but you can order the hardbound copy for $400 and some change, or the paperback for a little bit over $300, or you can go to eBay. eBay has a copy of it for $300, okay? But that is the textbook we'll be going by. Now, some of the things, I've got 16 items here because we've got to to lock this down, this 20 acres. Some of the ideas that can go on there, we can have our own farmer's market. We can do camping there. It can be the whole 20 acres. It could be, let's say, our campus. You got Silicon Valley. Well, then you got It's My House Campus, or whatever you want to call it. You know, we can have at least no less than 20 different farms there. We can have a portable building factory, a tiny house factory. Private water supply. Quilt making, because we got some quilt makers that listen to this program. Because the Amish do it. That's one of the profit centers in a lot of Amish communities, that people make quilts and sell them. Abiding Faith Housing Ministries. You can have a training facility there for whatever you want to train people for. We're offering boots on the ground tours, taking bookings immediately. Now, there'll be weekend tours, for the most part, weekend tours. But, Saturday, Sunday, just let us know. But you got to book them. You can't, because that's the way we have it set up. It'll be an off-the-grid community at large. We shall have a trade school there, a renewable energy trade school. Like I said, we're using and I'm reading from the program notes here on Blog Talk Radio. Our textbook for this whole venture is coming straight out of the book written by Booker T. Watley, not Washington, but Booker T. Watley. And it's titled $100,000 on 25 acres. Now, this book was published in 1987 when he didn't have access to the Internet like we do now. There were no smartphones in 1987. You know, there were computers, but not as we know them today. and they weren't available on a critical mass basis as they are today. And if you go on YouTube, YouTube did not exist in 1987. You go on YouTube now, and you have videos on how you can earn $100,000 on just a quarter acre of land, quarter acre land. Now, let's do some arithmetic here. All right, so you got like four quarters in a dollar, or four quarters in an acre. All right, so let's do four and times 20 acres. So that's 80. There's 80 quarter acres and 20 acres. So if you go to one of these videos and somebody look it up online, you know, how to earn $100,000 off a quarter acre land. Matter of fact, let me go look it up now. All right, let me do it on my phone. No, wait a minute. Okay. Let's go into search engine for YouTube. $100,000 on, let's see, a quarter acre of land. Let's see what comes back. All right. Right at the top of my search engine, it says, this is a video. This is how my farm works, $100,000 on a quarter acre. Second video below that, unlocking $100,000 on a quarter acre, mastering the five essential elements. Okay, $100,000 acre farm, $100,000 farm, that's on a third of an acre. Let's see, how I make six figures farming 1 acre of land. All right. Okay. So let's go with that first video. $100,000 on a quarter acre land. So we already know that, you know, times four, that's $400,000 for an acre. So let's just multiply $100,000 times $8 million. Those pictures that I've posted on, and do your own research now. Those pictures that I posted, that we're taking tour, we're booking tours for that now, walking tours. I'll be with you, and we'll walk the whole 20 acres together. And then whatever vision pops up in your mind will pop up in your mind. I'm familiar with this 20 acres because it's just it's 16 miles or 15 to 20 minute drive from where I have my 4 acres at. But now I want you to have your acres or your quarter acre or your half acre. What is your vision, not mine? So we're taking reservations for that, for walking tours. They're done exclusively on weekends. Okay, so let me open up Robin's line. Robin, what is the number for people that are interested in doing a walking tour of the 20 acres?
813-646-08. And those lines are open 24/7, and if by chance we're asleep, you can leave a voicemail that you want to be on the tour. You want to make a reservation, and we will call back. All right? 813-646-9808. And you probably want to add that.
All right.
To the
You're right. You're right. As a matter of fact, from here on out, every day until we secure this, and even after that, we will be talking about this Faith Street project. So call that number if you're interested. And some of the things you can do with this now, this 20 acres, because one of the topics that we covered, and we'll go, I guess we're going to pick up with it tomorrow or before then this week and every week, is, you know, you can have a 1 or 2 acre town. You know, you buy 1 acre, you can have your own little 1 acre town. Whatever your name is, you know, Joe Averageville or Josephineville or whatever, a Joe Average Town, a Josephine Average Town, whatever you want to name it, you can have a 1 acre town within this 20 acre plot that we're on Faith Street with. So, call the number that if you're interested in booking a walking tour of the entire 20 acres. And there is a pond on there, and I imagine the part of land that's on, that land will be more expensive. We'll have some prices for you by the end of the week on what it'll cost to pick up an entire acre, because we're going to break it down. If you want a whole acre, we got that. If you want a whole acre now we only got 1 acre that has a pond on it. So that'll be a higher price because it's actually stocked with fish right now. But if you don't want a whole acre, you're half acre. If you don't want a half acre, a quarter acre is quite a bit of land. Quite a bit of land. I mean, I'm on a quarter acre sitting to you, down talking to you right now. I got a 1,700 square foot house here, tool shed, 15, 16, 17 fruit trees. I got 3 fig trees, apples, lemons. All that. Yeah, yes.
Now, when you say the acre, you're not selling, you're talking about for use for a business company, right?
You can use it it's your acre. You do what you want with it.
I mean,
but you can use it for business purposes.
Are you selling
it? No, this is we got to do this in a special LLC, so your membership. Now, because if you wanted it for the first 3 years, we had to structure it legally.
You're not selling portions of the 20 acre, right?
No, we're not selling portions of it. But
okay,
I'm glad you brought that up, Delma. If you want use of like an entire acre or 2 acres or a half acre or a quarter acre, if you want use of that much land within the 20 acres, there'll be, you know, there's memberships for that. So it'll be a cooperative ownership. So your membership share will be within that, you know, do you want an acre membership where you control physically 1 acre, 2 acres, quarter acre, half acre, you will have use of that much land. So like Robin did earlier this year, she's got a 2 acre town called Maven Town, and that's within a 10 acre plot of land. So so you would have use of that, which you can do what you want to do on it. If you want to build a barn on it, if you want to have some type of business on it, if you want to grow food on it.
Yep, it's
the
like,
only thing
it's
that
like,
you can...
It's like It's like membership at the gym. So when you pay your membership, you can go in, you can use the machines, you can use the shower, you can use anything in that whole building, but you don't own it, and you're not going to buy it. You're just going to use it, access it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right, there you go. There you go. So, you determine.
You make money, though. But you
right, you
money,
can make
right?
money from it.
Yeah.
You can make money from it.
Memberships, there's a fee for the memberships. And then then when they go to use the land, maybe there's equipment rentals or more. Let's say they want to use a building on a facility. That's going to cost whatever, right? And so, you know, we're running solar, but it's still going to cost to run that, to operate that. So you have your membership fee, and depending on what level of membership you have, when you go in and use the actual facility.
Right. Right. So I'm glad you two chimed in on that. That's an excellent analogy. So you determine, you know, do you want to have a quarter acre? Do you want an acre? Do you want to build? I mean,
yeah.
You determine how much you need or want.
Yeah.
All right, hold. I think he's breaking up. Hold. Repeat that, Delmar. I think that was Delmar. Okay, while we're waiting.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Now we can hear you. We can hear Robin.
Okay. Well, yeah, it was me talking. So.
Repeat that, Robin. Yeah, repeat.
Think of campsites, okay? They have a part of the campsite. They have a part of the campsite that is least expensive, where you just go in and pop up a tent, and there's no water, no hookups, no nothing. Then they have another part. Access. You're paying for your membership to that place, like a state park. But then once you get there, you can go. Oh, we'll pop up our tent for no more money, or we'll go over on this side where they have hookups and blah, 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 and then we have to pay for that by the hour or by the day or whatever. So those are examples of how we make money, but we're not selling. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I'm glad you two broke it down that way with the analogies that you've used. And we're going to have to organize a, I guess, what do you call those things? PowerPoint presentation online. But like I say, we will have, and we're booking now, okay, for boots on the ground, walking tours of the 20 acres. All right. So, and Robin, give us that number again.
That number, 813-646-9808. I'll say it again.
All right, so
813-646-9808.
You know what's interesting? What's today, Tuesday?
All day.
Good. A month ago today, I believe we had, the radio meeting up in Jacksonville, Florida. So, and that was a Faith Street day, if there ever was one. So, here we are 30 days later. Now we have this opportunity. So I love the way you two broke it down. You really simplified it because now I understand it better. And like I say, call the number that Robin put out there. And more than likely, these, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we'll meet up and then we'll walk you through. And then whatever, I mean, it's now I just threw some things out, you know, some ideas out there, but I'm not the only person. It, you know, there can be a, there can actually be more than one farmer's market at this place. A flea market. You can grow food, fruits, vegetables. We have, in fact, let's do our homework again. Now I'm going to the phone lines here. 254, I'm coming to you. There's at least 300,000 gallons per acre. There's more than that, but I'm just rounding down, not up. 300,000 gallons of groundwater per acre times 20. There's over 6 million gallons of water that sit, that, like, once again, if you go to our Facebook page, DIY Housing TV, or It's My House, right on Facebook, that's our page, and those pictures, see, below that surface is groundwater. That's why I call it earth wealth, all right? So there's over 6 million gallons of water there. So on your acre, you know, if you want to make some extra income, you can put in a well and then sell, I don't know, Delmar water, Robin water, Willie water, you know, whatever you want. But there's a lot there. So when you're doing a boots-on-the-ground tour of it, you know, you know your mind will be clicking more and more. You might want to have an Airbnb chill-out spot. And like I say, it the way you two broke it down, it's you have use of the land. You know, how much use do you want? Do you want a quarter acre use? You can do a lot with a quarter acre. Do you want a half acre use? Do you want to set, like Luckenbach, Texas, you can have your own 1 or 2 acre town there. And you call it what you want. And you can do what you want. Oh, the only thing that you can't have there as far as animals go are pigs. I don't know why, but you can have cows,
yeah,
sheep,
yeah, you do. Yeah, you
horses,
do. Yeah, you do.
Chicken, ducks. Because you can have some chickens there and develop a source of income by them laying eggs. You know, I'm not a farmer or nothing like that, but, you know, I'm just saying. So you can make quilts there, candles, soap, laundry detergent.
Dog kennel boarding, animal housing, horses. People need a place to keep their horses, their recreational vehicles, storage facility.
And the list goes on. So now we've got.
And also something else that I strongly suggest that we look into is we need to create a security company, and it doesn't necessarily have to be armed. The reason why I say that is because more and more places like Seattle, for example, the police are being defunded. So, and the courts, the police won't even respond unless there's a gun involved, loss of limb, you know, like that. And then the courts don't even prosecute you. So when they arrest them, they don't even get charged and booked. Now, so
right.
You have people that there's an uptick in shoplifting, and people are taking their cars and breaking in doors of businesses and just going in and robbing them. And it doesn't matter what type of business it is. So I believe that this is a wide open market for security. And I would strongly suggest that we look into that.
Okay, well, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot there. Now, Robin, you know anything about putting together PowerPoint presentations? I don't. I know what they look like, but I've never put one together. Okay, she's somewhere. Let me go to 254. 254 area code, your mic is open. You might be muted. 254.
Morning. The question hello? I have is, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. The question I have is, since there's no real ownership, then you don't pay property tax, or you just pay, since it's a lease, more or less, then you just lease in the space, so then you just pay your business tax as usual. But if you build a house and everything, do you pay the tax on that, or do you, does the
that's a very good question. That's a very good question, because once permanent, what do you call it, permanent
structure.
Building on it, structures go up on it, the county's going to come along and assess it, and it's going to raise the taxes on the entire 20 acres. From what I was told,
correct.
Right now, 20 acres, they're paying about $1,000 on 20 acres. That's what they're paying.
The answer to that question, though, is the property owner is responsible for the taxes on
that's
the property.
That'll be
and,
the LLC.
And, well, the property owner, who LLC, whatever, the property owner is responsible for any tax bills that are due on that. And so the people
the place,
that come on there, go ahead.
I would say once the other thing is, well, two things is, one, need to have some structure as far as breaking up the acreage, and then also once the property is developed, it's going to be worth, let's say it's going to be taxed, let's say at $1 million or $2 million. So then you got to pay the tax on that.
Right.
Right, which
yep.
which everyone would know that, but then if you don't have buildings with foundations, that's already going to reduce or even eliminate your tax assessment. Does that make sense?
Now, yeah, once you put stuff on permanent foundations, the
we're
tax
not
won't
doing
shoot up.
Yeah, we're not doing permanent foundations. That's as far
so
as I know.
Well, if you're building a permanent, let's say you get the property, you want to keep it for life, and you probably want to have a solid foundation.
We don't want a solid foundation because we don't want a relationship with the tax man.
Well,
okay,
hold on.
But listen to this. If you've got, all right, let's say on the 20 acres, because we're talking about a membership. All right, so let's say on your 20 acres, let's say, because you can get a quarter acre, half acre, or a whole acre. All right, so let's say a person decides to get a 1 acre membership. Okay, if that person wants, in my opinion, if they want to put a permanent building on their 1 acre, I think they should be able to do that. But that membership, We're going to let them know when the tax bill comes out, all right, you have to account for this. Your tax, what you're going to have to pay yearly is going to be a little bit more than somebody who else does that doesn't even have that.
And then how would you enforce that when they don't pay? If they don't pay it, then you're going to have to be property owner, otherwise you're going to lose it. So what's in place for if that person doesn't? So I would just say no permanent, no foundation, so we don't
have that assessment, because that's not even in any of the plans of what we're doing. Permanent structures, foundations, and correct me if I'm wrong, I thought this whole time was tiny home communities, off-grid.
This is a little bit different. Because, like I say, you got, if a person's got an acre, because if they want to, let me add more time to this. If a person wants, let's say they want to put a barn up for whatever they want to do, you know, they might want to have that on a permanent. I mean, we can, a lot of this stuff could be figured out, or you can also have a general part of the membership fee where you account for that. And, all right, well, 1 acre, you know, is that certain part of the membership fee goes towards the taxes. That should be just off the top.
Yeah, certain percentage goes to that, and then they can have their membership can include that for a higher price, of course. Does that make sense?
Right.
And then that would account for
right.
you could fold that tax bill or assessment portion into that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which.
And also.
Yeah. Okay.
It can roll. Now, and we have to. Then what? Because all we're doing right now is we're thinking out loud. Because this is the first time I announced and put the pictures out there, you know, this morning. It's, you know, it could pass on that particular membership. Let's say it's a family membership. And that family membership, if kept up, can go to the next generation, to the next generation, that type of thing. But right now we're thinking out loud because, like I said, we need to do a PowerPoint presentation in addition to the walking tour is one thing, but you also need a PowerPoint presentation or whatever they got going these days to where people do stuff online. So any other questions at this time?
On your making your presentation, if you have a Google email, then you just use a Google's
Docs
app. Yeah, Google Doc type app, and you can make your slideshow in that. You just put it together, and it'll populate to whatever website you want to put it on. You just put in your URL stuff, and that's it. And it'll do all your, it'll automate by itself. It play indefinite, or you can say it plays one time, whatever. Got control over it.
All right. So anyway, that's all I got for you guys for today. We're going to talk about this every day until we get it secured, and after we get it secured, I know one thing we need to have in there is as part of the membership is a media marketing budget, you know, to sustain.
Yes. Because I have said now that we have begun, it's the marketing that's that's going to take us where we want to be and sustain everything. Marketing times 3,000. Yes, sir. You're exactly right.
To be included in the and
so we always right that means we always need to have calls to action going, post, PowerPoints, call to action, all of that. So ads, we need
call
to have
media.
Those constantly running.
Yeah, we can have a media
what?
Center there. Have we can even have our own general store there.
Yep. Both offline and online. And then we also It's My House has merchandise. And so tomorrow morning I'll start sharing the link where people can go and get It's My House merchandise. T-shirts, jogging suits, hats, wall art, mugs, and the like, and more.
All right, so Delmar is still there? He might have dropped off.
Nope, it looks like Delmar's gone.
He's gone, Robin?
Delmar's not here.
Okay, all right. So, all right, well, that's all I've got for today. Robin, any announcements on your end?
I just want to welcome Lone Wolf Radio to the lineup on I Am Streaming. Want to give a shout out to Chris Collins for making the connection. So we have another longstanding, highly reputable show on our network now. Yes, so the Lone Wolf Radio with Keeler Davenport is now a sister show to DIY Housing TV, Jesus in the Morning, the Hilltop Radio Show, and Vibes Live Exclusives. On the IO Streaming Broadcasting Network.
Jesus in the Morning, if you have a ministry or a church or a nonprofit and you're looking for an acre or part of an acre of land, all right, that's really not too far from a major metropolitan area, drive time-wise, then we might have something for you within this 20 acres. You can set it up the way you want to set it up. You know, you can have it as a worship center, a homeless, place where people can get restarted again. It's only limited to your imagination. So, Robin, what's the number to call if a person's got a church, ministry, or nonprofit, or you can be for profit.
Yes.
Or if you're
that
if
number
you're,
is
yeah.
eight.
Go ahead.
That number is 813-646-9808.
Okay, and you might have a green thumb out there, and you might want to plant some, tomatoes or just to lower your food bill or whatever. You know, come on out. You know, take a walking tour, and, you can do a whole lot on a quarter acre of land.
Yeah, you can, but you know what? I would lean more towards services than I would agriculture because you have a lot of unknown factors out beyond your control. Weather, the crops can fail, drought, seeds can be more, they can come up with laws to make it difficult for you to distribute what you sell. you know. And then also, it's not that simple to go, oh, I'm going to buy land and grow food. Because the Homeland Security says now that if you have a farm, I mean, if you grow food, right, you have to have a refinery as well. And a lot of small businesses, they're like, our mom and pops, you're like, we're not on that level. So because I'm aware of what?
What do you
because
have to
Because I'm aware of, say what? What?
What do you have to have? What do you have to have? You're talking about Homeland said you have to have a what? A refinery.
If you want to grow, if you want to grow food and provide it for more people than just outside of your family, they say you have to have a refinery.
A refinery.
And so a lot of small pop, you know, family owned businesses, they don't have it like that.
Well, a refinery. So a refinery using meaning that you have to manufacture something. If you is it a refinery like an oil refinery or
yeah,
they're a wine
saying
refinery?
If you want to get what they say is if you want to grow food, you can grow food that you want to all day long. But if you want to provide it, make it available for people outside of your family, you have to have a refinery. They're saying that your farm has to be in a state to handle mass production, no matter what size you are. And so my
I know too many farmers that don't meet that criteria that's been around for years. With 300 or more.
So my point is that instead of because I know that there's all these restrictions more and more, and just look around you. In Washington State, 10 years ago, there were cities that were rural and mostly farmlands. You go and look now, there's apartment complex and business malls in there. So agriculture and all that is going away, and they're making it harder. So that's why all this I take into consideration, and I would suggest doing things more geared towards services than agriculture is just my personal opinion.
But we'll have people that come in and speak on everything you just talked about. What can we do on this particular neck of the woods? Because I know, like, Florida's got 67 counties. And matter of fact, I might post that up there tomorrow because this place is in, like I said, the majority of the United States is rural as far as land mass. Although
I can testify to that.
You live in an urban environment. What do you say, Willie?
I said I can testify to that. I drove up to Colorado and back, and there's a lot of land that's some of it's grazing land, and some of it's it's a lot of empty space. Like you said in your thing about the population, people, you know, in these dense areas, and then after you leave that, I mean, you can drive a good while and not see another building or anything. Well, out in West Texas, I don't think you see as windmills. But,
well, like this
yeah, it's a lot of space.
All right, it's about 90 minutes away, or 80-something minutes. I just rounded up to 90 minutes from Jacksonville. Now, the city of Jacksonville has a little bit over 900,000 people. The Jacksonville metro area has like 1.7 million people. So you got a lot of buildings, tall buildings, you know, just a lot of big city. It's the largest. Jacksonville is the largest city in Florida. Okay, even big. It's like almost triple the size of Miami. Although you hear more about Miami and Orlando than you do Jacksonville. So it's the largest city by population and land mass in Duval County in the state of Florida. Now, this place, like I say, it's 90 minutes away, or 90, it's 80-something minutes, like a 90-minute drive away from Jacksonville. But you're going to see things like turkeys, foxes, owls, deers, and then one county over, you got bears. So you're going to see things that 90 minutes in to Jacksonville you won't see. So, but this 20 acres that you see is what I call part of the real United States of America. Florida's got 67 counties, as is, just like with Texas. Texas has over 200 counties. But the bulk of that population is within, I forgot what kind of triangle they call it. It's a triangle that goes in between San Antonio up to the Metroplex, Dallas-Fort Worth, back down to Austin, and then I guess the base of it runs around Houston. That's where the bulk of the population, which is larger, that little section between in Texas, between San Antonio, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Austin, and Houston, that region of population in the state of Texas has more people than the entire state of Georgia. However, when you step outside of that triangle in Texas, and I'll just speak for Presidio County, Texas, and the other counties like that, it's sparse. You can drive for, Willie, you live down there. So, Willie, how long did it take you to drive from your place in Texas to, what, Colorado, where you went?
I didn't drive straight through, but it had been about 14 hours.
Okay, 14 hours. So about how many of those hours were you just, is you in open space?
Easily, I would say at least 7, maybe.
Yeah, see it.
10.
That's the United States, so it's.
LA. The sad part is there's a lot of what used to be a thriving town. There are a lot of ghost towns now. I mean, some of the towns that you and I can remember from way back, they're basically ghost towns because they bypass, put a new highway in and they bypass them. So there it is. The population has dropped off considerably. A lot of empty buildings. You want to buy a building? Go there.
People still live in Happy, Texas?
Yes.
Okay.
Happy, Crest. See, Crest is almost gone. There's almost nobody in Crest or Happy because the highway bypassed it. And when I drove through this, there's lots of empty buildings, lots and lots.
Man. So it because a lot of people just, they want those, you know, they don't, a lot of people, you know, like I was talking to one of our listeners. I'm a matter of fact, I'm going to call him back today and see if I can get him on here maybe tomorrow or Friday. Daryl out of New York City. Daryl lives in a family shelter. And if you see the building, I'm gonna see if I can get him on here tomorrow. If you see the building that he's in, it does not look like a shelter. It looks like a building anybody will live in. And if you see he's got a private kitchen, private bathroom. It's just he and his son, but it's a family shelter. So I'm looking at, no wonder people go to New York City. Now everybody gets a setup like that, but I'm going to bring him on here and have the pictures on him. See if I can get him on here tomorrow. Because after looking at the spread he's got, it's like, you know, why move to a rural area? But now the catch 22, because he's in New York City and Brooklyn in particular, the mayor of New York says the city is to its capacity when it's come to this homeless crisis in New York City. So, most cities are not like New York City. I'm looking at what they have going on in New York City, is I'm looking at it as an experiment in socialism, because like I said, if you see this, some of these places that they call shelters, they don't look like shelters. I mean, they're not what you would picture as a shelter, and they do have different types of shelters. So I'm gonna bring Daryl on here, and he can just break all that down way better than I could. But like, see, where he's living, it doesn't look like a shelter at all. Like, say, it's private. He doesn't have to share anything. He doesn't have to worry about security. He and his son don't have to worry about security. It's just a nice setup. So it's like, you know what? I get a house. Now, to qualify to get into some of those shelters in New York, what they're asking is like outrageous prices, but hey, if you love New York or Chicago or Dallas or Houston, there are people that you're not, there's just some people that just like city living and you're not going to pull them out. So, you know, there's no one size fits all. So we'll be back tomorrow. On that note, thank you everybody for your contribution, and we're going to shape this up so we can do a PowerPoint presentation for that, along with the boots on the ground tour. Because when we do I want to copy off of what Freedom Georgia did. They did tours. They called 10 people. So anybody listening to this broadcast, call 10 of your friends and see if they will be interested in having some type of space in this community that we're organizing, larger community that we're organizing. And they had campouts, and so they're developing their own town called Freedom Georgia. But right now they go by the name Freedom Georgia Initiative. So no sense in reinventing the wheel. Just copy off what other people plus what Booker T. Wiley's written in his book. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.